What's going on, everybody? You're listening to the Lion Speaks podcast, and I'm your host, Mufasa T. Leo. We're back on another episode. We're going to talk about being too woke. Is it possible to be too woke? Do some of you need some sleep? Do you need some rest? Well, listen, get ready to rest your thumbs and stay tuned so we can tackle this dialogue and perspective right here. The Lion Speaks podcast. All right, what's going on, everybody? You know, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Now, I understand in this society, in this culture that we live in, when everybody is overly sensitive about everything and offending people is so taboo, what I need you to understand is my perspective is my perspective, is my opinion. It's not to shut down anybody's opinion. It's not to say my opinion matters more than your opinion or yours matters more than mine. This is just my opinion. If you agree with it, hey, if you don't, turn it off. Either way, that's why I'm doing this podcast, to give my authentic opinion about the things I feel or the things that I think about in regards to what's going on in today's society. With that being said, if anybody's seen any of my bios or anything like that, I'm completely open-minded to different ideas and different thoughts and opinions, so everyone feels included to discuss it. Whether I personally agree with it or not is irrelevant. I like to hear, I like to understand, I like to listen to people talk, and not just rant and rave and hoop and holler and fart and spit and scream based off of an emotional reaction to whatever. With that being said, alright, I'm just going to get right into it. Outrage culture, you know, it's starting to get really, you know, I'm not going to say it's starting to get ridiculous. It's been ridiculous for the last few years. All right. I'm 28. Okay. So I'm not that old, and I'm a 90s baby. So of course I saw growing up a lot of what people are offended with now be normalized back then. That's not to say whether it's right or wrong. Most of it, the majority of it was wrong. Of course it was. But I think at this point, you can be offended by things, then the right things, and move to change them. But then there's such thing as just being offended by everything, being just too woke. You know, a lot of y'all are asleep. I mean, a lot of y'all need to sleep. Y'all just too dang woke. You know what I mean? You got bags under your eyes. You need to get in the bed, tuck yourself, and turn your phone off, rest those thumbs, and go to sleep. You're too woke out here. Everyone wants to be a part of a social group, which is fine. Everyone wants to be a part of some movement, but at the same time, some people are uneducated, and they're just ranting and raving and doing and when in Rome, doing what the Romans do, because it seems cool. The majority of people, these celebrities, who go out of their way to support these social groups and apologize and, you know, go on these emotional tirades, and they don't really believe, a lot of them don't really believe in what they're leading you people in these social groups to believe. A lot of them are just doing that because they're afraid that you're going to cancel their career, quote unquote cancel. Cancellation culture, outrage culture, Twitter culture, Instagram, social media culture in general. This whole area of society where people are using their thumbs to dictate content. No one wants to offend anybody. Everyone's afraid to offend. Everyone's afraid to offend a certain group. So everything's overly inclusive. Everything's overly diversified. Everything's overly, you know what I mean? And I never thought I'd say that. And I'm big on diversity. I mean, hell, I'm in the military. I love that the military is diverse. You mean, and I'm not saying overly diversified in a way that means, like, I don't think there should be any diversity. What I mean is, like, when you're forcing things to pander to certain groups of people. For instance, I'll give you an example. I watched 13 Reasons Why a couple weeks ago, all right, over the past three seasons, and I saw the backlash they got from suicide victims, or not victims, but people that are say they're knowledgeable about suicide. A lot of people were offended about the first season and the second season about school mass shootings and things like that. And then the third season, you know, it kind of dwindled down because it seemed like that show did everything that they could not to offend people. Whether it's have like a message in the beginning of the show, edit out content, make it less graphic. They tell you in the beginning that this is very graphic. You shouldn't watch this without a parent or an adult or a trusted adult. If you have any problems, go talk to somebody. That's a disclaimer. Then yet people still choose to watch it. And if you want to critique things, that's fine. But if you're going to complain about something, just stop watching it. And I don't know. It almost seemed like, to a degree, that show was starting to pander. Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that show ended. I didn't like how that show, you know what I mean, how the season ended. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like what they did with it, because it almost, the story that was the first season, the mystery that was the first season, almost kind of went away in an instant because of this blatant pandering, you know. And if you're trying to get a message across, that's fine. You know, if you, and I like the aspect of them trying to help people and them trying to get people to, you know, understand like you're not alone. I get all that. Just from a story perspective, like the all these different storylines, you know what I mean, making these kids pretty much like making these kids like adults in high school, essentially, to me was a bit unrealistic. And maybe it is realistic. Maybe these 14, 15, 16, 17 year olds in high school today feel like they have to be 25 because of all the crap that social media is exposing them to. You know, that's why everyone's growing up so damn fast. But you can tell at certain points in that show that they were really trying hard to say, hey, we're with all of you, you know. That's one thing. I'm just over this too woke movement where everyone thinks that they, you know, everyone has a voice through social media. Everyone has a platform or is trying to have a platform by using their thumbs or using their YouTube videos or TikTok or flip flop or drop flop, wop, blop, blop, wop, wop. Whatever social media app is out there, people are using it to rant. Not necessarily educate, but to rant. There are some people that are educating, and I give those people props that are really giving people information, like, you know, people like Mike Holston, the real Tarzan. I love this guy. I follow him on Instagram. Educational, really educational. Of course, people are going to disagree with him and get on him about what he's doing. It's you. I mean, you can't please everybody. You really can't. You know, I don't understand why people feel like they have the power to cancel people and dictate people's lives and livelihood and careers just with a press of a button on their thumb, with their thumbs, you know? For instance, just a week ago, you know, there's a situation that happened with the whole Popeyes epidemic. How that somehow became deemed as a cultural thing. What is just a chicken sandwich, an unhealthy chicken sandwich, I might add, like, got this huge craze, like, all over social media, you know what I mean? And people were waiting in lines and lines and lines for the sandwich, you know? Everybody wanted to taste the sandwich, and somehow they were making it a competition between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. Why? Because Chick-fil-A is known for having chicken sandwiches. So, of course, everyone decided to use it as a marketing tool and make money off of it, making all these different videos about which sandwich is better and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, Popeyes ran out. I didn't get a chance to try it because of where I am. But regardless, a situation happened where Janelle Monáe, a singer. You might know her from Hidden Figures. I don't know what else she's in. I like her music though. But she makes a suggestion on Twitter, like saying pretty much, you know, we should set up voting booths for that sandwich, whatever. Something along those lines. I don't think it was that big of a deal, you know what I mean? Because not too far south in North Carolina. North Carolina or South Carolina? I think it was North Carolina. One of the Carolinas, a kid named David Ledbetter, a 17-year-old, he's trying to get people to register to vote while they're waiting in line. What's wrong with that? Well, of course, all these two woke black people, black Twitter, which is mainly who's responsible for canceling a lot of these people, or quote-unquote canceling a lot of these people, is mainly black Twitter. You know what I mean? A lot of people, and then in our community at least, goes on Twitter and rants, and everybody in their two woke rants, and you don't understand voter suppression, which I was listening to The Breakfast Club, and Sean Manuel put it, voter suppression only affects you if you actually vote. If you look at how the voting turnout, regardless of what you want to say about how many black women voted for Hillary, a lot of black people didn't vote. The same black people that were complaining about who we have in office from the time he got his inauguration till now didn't vote. So it's like, you know, if you all know how important voting is, then vote. This voter suppression thing is a battle that's being fought, and do your part, but don't sit here and complain about it. And not do anything about it. Just be sitting on Twitter just complaining and ranting and da-da-da-da. You don't know, da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? So, of course, Two Woke Twitter backed Janelle Monáe into a corner, and she had to apologize for everything. I don't think she should have apologized. I don't see what the big idea was, because as soon as election time comes around, what do you think these voting booths are going to be set up and these kiosks are going to be set up? Places like Popeyes. Around places like Popeyes, or you know what I mean, it's places where people are. Why isn't that smart? But of course, people getting overly sensitive, too dang offended, thinking she's, you know, coming for them. Oh Lord, it's, you know, it's exhausting reading some of the stuff that people comment about. You know, just yesterday, I saw a video on this page I follow on Instagram called Church for Laugh, right? Or Church of Laugh. And someone sent an email to them saying, like, hey, I'm not following you anymore because of stuff you said about the president. So now, if anybody follows Church of Laugh, at Church of Laugh on Instagram, you know that all they do is post memes and gifs and clips of churchy things that are humorous. They're not political. They're not like, it's just all it is just really clips and gifs and whatever and memes, and it's hilarious, right? So the only thing that they had posted about the president was a clip that he had said like last year, a couple years ago, about 2 Corinthians, and he called it two Corinthians, like, or something like that. I don't see what the big deal was and how that was. So then I go in the comments and someone says, yeah, you guys should stay out of politics and separate, da, 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 da. I'm like, who are you to dictate what kind of content this page chooses to push out or chooses to provide to the masses? You know what I mean? Who are you to tell a person what they should and should not stay out of? If somebody doesn't like what they see, unfollow that joint. But you cannot tell somebody what they can or cannot post. Like, that's a huge contradiction of freedom of speech. We all like to throw this freedom of speech thing around when it pertains to us, when we can use it in our favor. But we want to dictate how everybody else lives their lives, telling people what they can or cannot do. You can't say this, you can't say that. But the minute that your right to say something is restricted, then you have a problem. And you're like, oh, no, you can't. I have freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. Why do we try to have people live by our standards but don't want to abide by our own standards? Does that make any sense? Most of the people out here that when people commit crimes and things like that, we always talk about what we would have done and if we were in that situation. When shut up, you don't freaking know. Well, if I was at that school, if I was da 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 da, you know how many people freeze up when situations happen in real time? Flight or fight, or they just stand there and just stare. I mean, well, now people are just whipping out of their phones instead of running for their lives. Put your dang phone down and get the hell out of there. The news got it. But you want to be such a big hit. You want to be the one to break the story. I was there. I recorded everything. And if I was in that shit, now I'm ranting. Let me bring it back down. You see, the thing about outrage culture is it's irresponsible. Alright, a lot of you people out there in this involved with this outrage culture, you're too woke, right? It's affecting your ability to effectively comprehend things and understand things before you give a reaction to them. Your logic and your rationale is completely out of the window. You're just mad just to be mad. You're not even thinking about what you're really mad at. You're not looking at the facts. You're not trying to see perspective. You're not just sitting listening. You're not listening to a few times. And even if you are listening to a few times, if you already have your mind made up about how you feel about something, you're going to react. You know? Calling people sellouts. You know, freaking trying to tell people how to live their lives. Even recently, Dave Chappelle, right? Now, Dave Chappelle is my favorite comedian of all time. But I'm not gonna have a biased opinion about it. I'm gonna try to have a logical opinion about it. Alright? And I'm not speaking on behalf of comedians because I'm not a comedian. I can't do that. I'm speaking on behalf of a consumer that enjoys comedy. I enjoy comedy because I don't want to sit in despair and depression, or if I have a bad day, sit in that bad day. I like to laugh. I love to laugh. I love to laugh at things that's not always laugh at twisted things, but that's what jokes are. Jokes are about, you know, all the problems that we have, all the things that we're really thinking. Somebody's on stage making money saying them, saying the stuff that we don't have the courage to say and being dang good at it. So why not just let go and laugh? Of course, in this era where everything you say, I mean, a comedian on stage can offend someone just by their mere presence. Someone can be like, oh, I don't like this person. And what astonishes me is that if you know this person is going to say something controversial, why watch it? Just to make yourself angrier. Why even waste your own time? If you already have a preconceived notion about who this person is, if you don't like Dave Chappelle, why are you clicking on his face to watch his video, watch his Netflix special? If you know you're going to get offended by what he says, if you're in any community, why even turn it on? Just to prove yourself right? You're wasting your time. Just stop watching it. And let people that actually do like him enjoy it. This is the same Dave Chappelle from Chappelle's Show. From before that. From any Kill Him Softly. Like, any stand-up you've ever seen. Equanimity. Like, any stand-up you've ever seen Dave Chappelle do. He's not changed one bit. He doesn't care about what people think. In terms of backlash, he's going to say what he's going to say in me when he says. I don't understand how, at this point in 2019, why people don't understand that. You know what you're getting yourself into. Like, this special that he just came out with, Sticks and Stones. He told you off the rip. Even the trailer told you. Like,
I mean, look at the title, Sticks and Stones. You know that, we all know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. These are words, these are jokes. Why are they offending people so dang much? You're only offended by what you choose. You choose to be offended. Nobody offends you. Being offended is a more of a reaction than an action. Like, if I say something that you don't like, I'm not responsible for how you feel about it. I'm only responsible for what I say. If you happen to get offended, I didn't put a gun to your head and say get offended. You chose to be offended. I can say something to you that you don't like, and you can just brush it off your shoulder. But if I say something you don't like, and you choose to feel some kind of way about it, that was your choice to feel some kind of way about it. You know what I mean? So, when it comes to comedy, if he's making these jokes, and you don't like them, then don't watch him. But if you just want to laugh and have a good time, even if it makes you cringe a little bit, just enjoy it. Of course, you know, he's received a lot of backlash for it, for all the jokes he made. Like, he starts off with it. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's been out on Netflix. Everybody should have Netflix at this point. I don't really care about giving spoilers. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's hilarious. But he was talking about, like, one joke he made about the Michael Jackson accusers, like, saying he pretty much doesn't believe them. I mean, he's been dead for 10 years, and he has other cases. And they come out with this documentary on HBO. Mind you, there are people on one side saying that this documentary is completely one-sided. Everybody wasn't interviewed. Mind you, this man is dead. Right? Why is this coming out now? I could have sworn that those same accusers had said that he didn't do anything before, and then Michael got off scot-free. So it's kind of very peculiar. Whether I believe them or not doesn't really matter. But Dave Chappelle didn't believe them, and he made jokes about it. And of course, those guys are coming out, and they're offended by it. And it's like, he's making jokes. He made another joke about Justice Smollett, or as he he calls him Juicy Smooye. That, oh my gosh, Juicy Smooye. And I'll provide a link in the bio for a clip of that joke. That joke had me screaming when he was talking about him, saying he pretty much didn't believe in how quiet black people were, and like the homosexual community calling people homophobic just for not saying anything. And that's another outrage culture term that floats around, is homophobic, transphobic, any kind of phobia. You know what I mean? Which started out as a fear of something, now it's turned into a hate for something. It's that phobia word being thrown around. So people, he was saying that because black people didn't stick up for him. I saw an article the other day saying that straight black men's silence on Jussie Smollett is homophobic. I'm like, are you kidding me? So because I didn't stand up and support Jussie Smollett, I'm homophobic. When that situation has nothing to do with me, get the hell out of here, man. But he called him Juicy Smooye, and he was just pretty much describing like what his perspective on that situation, and like, and it was funny. It was comedy. Of course, people freaking give them backlash for that. You know, people giving him backlash for the LGBTQAI, so many dang letters. Backlash about that situation. You know, about how he pretty much depicted the perspective of them riding in a car together and like them sharing different views but all going on the same trip. You know what I mean? I thought that was funny. Of course, he's getting backlash for that. Dave Chappelle's controversial, y'all. And it was genius the way he did this, in my opinion. Now, Donnell Rawlings, if you know anything about Donnell Rawlings is the Ashy Larry from Chappelle's Show. He's the dude with the Jerry Curl on the Play Haters Club. He's had his own couple stand-ups. things like that. He's a pretty hilarious dude. He had his perspective on TMZ, and I'll also put that link in the bio for that clip. But I'm gonna play that for you real quick.
He's getting a lot of flack right now. I mean, he went in on
Chappelle show. It's fair to say he's getting flack. It's also fair to say he's getting a lot of praise. And me, as a stand-up comic, the thing that I was supportive more than anything is a person that's fearless, not afraid to say what they feel, and not to talk, not afraid to just address things that are troubling to the world.
Now, I just want to give you a disclaimer. Excuse the language. Let's go back in.
In a humorous way. Right now, to this day, Dave Chappelle is this generation's Richard Pryor. As a comedian, now is the time to grab your balls and make fun of the things that trouble the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I watched the special. I was on tour with Dave when he was building the special, and I saw some jokes. I was like this. Ooh, ha. Not because I thought it was anything with it, but I'm like, I know how people are super sensitive right now.
You knew people were
reacting. And everybody's about to, our culture is cancellation.
Yeah.
One person do a bad joke, cancellation. This person say this, cancellation.
The tweets.
This person's cancellation. Yep. But I will say, Dave Chappelle, the title, you should have been warned on what was going to come with the title, Sticks and Stones. Do anybody really believe that those are things that Dave Chappelle think really happened?
Right.
It's a joke. Sometimes it's twisted. Sometimes it's over people's head. Sometimes it's dark. But it's a joke.
Yeah. Do you think you'll be canceled?
Who, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave can't be canceled.
So, pretty much, he just puts it in perspective. You know what I mean? Dave Chappelle is one of the very few comedians that actually have the confidence to stand up and do his dang job in a brilliant way and not care about what comes with it. I'm sure Dave Chappelle knew that he was going to get a lot of backlash for it. I'm sure he knew that he was going to get a lot of flack. He was going to get all these people saying all these different things, and it was going to really hit home with some people. People have already come out with myriad of articles, Forbes, and all these different blogs and journalistic articles, and these different websites all have their own perspective, and they critique, you know, his stand-up in their own way. But like he was saying, like, you shouldn't care about that. Like, if you're a comedian, it's all about comedy. But comedians are like so afraid. Some comedians are so afraid these days because this is their livelihood. Now people are literally dictating their livelihood on Twitter. They make a living off of making jokes to make everyone laugh. Something that, you know what I mean? Something like, you know, if you ever like in school, like you have roasting sessions in the cafeteria, either your mama jokes or you just talk about your friend, and you're in a group of people, you just start roasting somebody or something like that. You know what I mean? Imagine that, but actually making money off of that. Like feeding your family off of that. You know what I mean? Feeding your family off of making jokes about yourself, which Kevin Hart does, making jokes about other people. You know what I mean? He even had another thing in there about Kevin Hart, about how the tweets that he made for the whole Oscar situation were just jokes. Like, he wasn't going to really buy a dollhouse and smash his son in the head with it. They were just jokes. But, of course, people saw that and was like, oh, my gosh, he's going to harm his son. He's homophobic. Like, oh, my gosh. So, imagine, like, you know, your livelihood is literally to make people laugh or to try to get people to laugh. The people come in there with an open mind. You know, you're watching these comedy specials with an open mind. You're trying to get away from whatever it is you're trying to get away from. And comedy just speaks to you. And these guys are on stage for an hour with stuff that they either written down or not. Either we're trying to figure out how to say this in a way that makes it, you know, funny, edgy, or whatever. How can I turn a mass shooting into a joke? How can I turn a rape into a joke? How can I turn a suicide into a joke? How can I turn the worst situations that we go through on a daily basis into something that can make people laugh and bring light to it? This is what these guys think about. And now that's being dictated by people who are saying, no, you shouldn't really be laughing about that. Which, ultimately, of course we shouldn't really be laughing about it, but that's the beauty of laughter and jokes. It's not always clean. It's not always, you know what I mean? Some comedians can literally laugh at anything. You know, of course there are things that are off limits. But if you've, there's worse comedy than what Dave Chappelle put out. People have said worse things, more controversial things. You know what I mean? And the way I see it is, if you don't like it, just don't watch it. So, these guys' careers, if anybody, are they're being dictated literally by outrage culture, people that are too woke. You know? It's asinine to me, really. How these people, like, get up every morning looking on the web, watch these videos, and go on Twitter and just sit in their basement all day and type away, ranting emotionally crazed epithets about how they dislike somebody. People in the entertainment business are probably terrified because their careers are on the line, so now they have to pander, now they have to, you know, overly support things that they probably deep down don't even agree with, just so they don't draw the ire of these different communities. They have to come out and be allies and say, this is what I believe in, just so that people will believe them and leave them alone. Oh, this person supports us. We won't cancel them until they make a song that we don't like. Then they're canceled. It's almost like we're living like an episode of like Dear White People or something. Season 2. Volume 2. You know what I mean? Like we're, you know, even some black people like are quick to call somebody a sellout, or are quick to, you know what I mean, anytime somebody does something that we don't like, we're either calling them Uncle Tom or a sellout. Instead of trying to educate people. Our two wokeness can't stand someone having a different idea about something. They have to think the way we think, breathe the way we breathe, look at things the way we look at things. No one can be different. People realize how much of a melting pot this country is, and how valuable our diversity is. It makes us unique, and it makes us all special in different ways. If everyone thought the exact same, things would be terrible. If everyone agreed all the time, things would be terrible. That's the beauty of change, of making things better, getting people to see things a different way. Like, why don't you look at this way? Oh, I didn't realize that it was inhumane to not allow women to vote. I didn't realize that it was inhumane to whip people on their backs if they didn't pick enough cotton for you. I didn't realize that. Everything is perspective driven, but now it's literally people just tweeting. No wonder why a lot of these artists turn their comments off on Instagram and places like that. They'll post a picture, because anything that you say, anything that you post, any kind of content that's put out, somebody doesn't like it. And instead of just not commenting on it at all, they gotta get on there and spew their hate about it. I've been guilty of that myself from time to time. Speaking in humility and transparency, I'm not any better than anybody. So much so that it annoys me. I need to do better. If I don't like something, click on something else. If you don't like something, click on something else. But all of our lives should not be consumed by social media content where we can't form connections. Do you remember back in the day where you actually had to remember somebody's house phone number and you had to sit there and wait until somebody called you? Or back when you had to meet somebody at a location in order to have that physical connection with them, in order to hang out with them? or you wasn't coming back in the house until later because you spent all day chilling with your friends, either playing sports or going out to the movies or any outdoor activities. But no, nowadays we're all in the house or we're at a bookstore or we're at Starbucks on our phones on social media 24/7. And it completely consumes us. All of our information is coming from the internet. We're not reading. We're not reading any books. We're not going to the library to get more knowledge about things that we don't understand. We're Googling that joint. We're going on YouTube. And yeah, of course there's educational things on the internet that streamline and make things more easily accessible if we have it. And that's fine. But I think that by wanting to feel a part of something so bad, we're kind of losing ourselves a little bit in that. If you want to be a part of a group so bad, educate yourself in that group. Understand what goes on in that group. Understand why you want to be a part of that group. Don't just join it because it's because you think it's cool. You know what I mean? All it takes is one or two tweets, or maybe three tweets of hate for a whole. That those three tweets will turn into 100. Those 100 will turn into 1,000. Those 1,000 will turn into millions of people hating one person and trying to cancel one person, all because their two woke selves had a problem with what that person did or said. Janelle Nation had to apologize for that. It was not. There were worse things in the world than her suggesting to set up a voting booth in. While people waited in line for a chicken sandwich. If you're waiting for an hour or two, you don't think registering to vote is productive and proactive, since we all understand what the voting issues are in this country? So, I mean, I'm going to stay out of politics. That's not my cup of tea. I'm not knowledgeable enough to really talk about politics. I'm going to stay out of that. But when it comes to these issues that we have, when we all want to have a voice, I mean, ask yourself, how woke is too woke? Is it possible to be too woke? Do you think? I think it is. I think it's possible to try to concern yourself with everything, that you kind of lose sight of who you are and what you're doing, trying to worry about everybody else and what they're doing that to please you or not please you. It's important that we reconnect with each other. It's important that we reconnect with ourselves and not just look to social media to live life for us. It's not real. We shouldn't be looking. I mean, I don't want these artists to look at social media for approval and disapproval. You know, like just like a week or two ago, recently, Joe Budden had this rant about what he thought of Swae Lee's and Drake's song they did together. They just came out with together. I heard it. I was like, oh, okay, decent song. That's just my opinion. It doesn't matter. But Joe Budden is literally paid to have an opinion about something. He makes opinions. He's getting paid to have opinions. A lot of these artists don't like Joe Budden's opinions because they feel like he has influence over what people think. And that's those people's choice, whether they want to allow Joe Budden to influence their decision about who they feel, how they feel about artists. That's on them whether they agree or not. That's not on Joe Budden. Yeah, voices are powerful, but you can't be. You gotta give people, allow people to take responsibility for their own actions and stop putting everything on one person. A lot of times it's all collective. So if Swae Lee didn't like Joe Budden's music, just don't like it. Don't waste your time freaking responding and ranting to him about it. Like you said, it, like Swae Lee said, it went international. There's a lot of people that love it, probably more so than hate it. So that should be that. Let the song sell itself. Who cares what Joe Budden has to think? about your music? Who cares if these people on Twitter, like, for me, I think it's the difference between consumers and outrage culture. There are people that, those, and it's funny because the same people that are consuming this content are the people that are ranting about it. And these artists are making a livelihood off of consumers. Like, without these consumers, how can they really get their content out there? Actors in movies and things like that. Them specifically picking roles so that they are in the best position possible to pander to these groups, so they can either get an Oscar or whatever. Not just acting in movies they want to act in. Specifically picking movies so that they're in the best light possible, when they really don't believe in half of the stuff that people that these people are talking about. They don't want to offend anybody. I mean, yeah, Netflix is starting to throw out specials like Candy, but are people really watching all those specials? It's only the big ones that are getting controversy. Bill Burr got a special coming out. Let's hear what people have to say about that. And he's one of those other people, comedians, just kind of like Dave Chappelle, where he understands that people need to calm the hell down. I'm excited for that. And I already know people are going to give him backlash for stuff he says. But it's like, people got to relax. People got to relax. We're being too freaking woke. Black people, go to sleep. Get some rest. They're being too woke. Everybody ain't gonna sell out. Every group of people, black people, white people, anybody on Twitter that rants about stuff for no damn reason, get some rest. Play a little lullaby, play some nice music, play a waterfall, some nature, or something. And some water running, rivers flowing in Lake Minnetonka. Play something that's gonna help you relax and get some rest. Because you're too woke. It's almost like when you wake up in the morning, when you get woken up in the morning and you can't really think straight, and you kind of like half, like barely walking to the bathroom, and you're, that's how some people are. But when you haven't slept in all day, and you can't really think clearly because you haven't had any rest, so your brain can't process information. That's how some of y'all are. Actually consume the content and let it process and flow through your body before you respond and react. A lot of people don't listen to listen. They just listen to respond. They're waiting for you to shut the hell up so they can make their case. Instead of actually listening to you, speak. Let that go to their brain. Think about what you just said and formulate a response and regurgitate that. They just want to just react. They barely hear what you say, and they just want to say what they want to say and just yap. Give it a yap, yap, yap. But relax. Get some rest. You need it. Y'all too woke. Yo, thank you for listening to the Lion Speaks podcast. Be sure to visit Lion Speaks social media such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to join the conversation and access the show notes. Also, you can head over to any media outlets such as iTunes and Spotify to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time, Hakuna Matata!